Amen. Amen. How many of you know God is good to us?
Amen.
I can't wait to hear Rob yell, "Praise God!" from the side over here, man. It'll be soon. It'll be soon. We'll be back together and hanging out and doing that. He's probably at home doing that now, man, if I know Rob. But thank you again for coming and hanging out with us. Do this for me again. If this is your first time hanging out with us, we appreciate it. I put the live on my phone over there so I could share the watch party with people. And I saw some people that have never been able to step foot into the church building here come and be a part of our service. So, man, thank you guys for joining us, for hanging out. Again, if you would, send us an email at hello@lakevictory.com. Let us know that you are here. And thank you for coming and joining us today. With that, we're going to go ahead and get into the sermon portion. So listen, if you hear some people talking in the background, it's completely okay. Now, they went out into the lobby, but we still have Anastasia and Andre and Victor with us from Russia, and she's back there translating for them so that they can understand what's going on here. So how many of you know that when I talk, people who understand English can't understand me sometimes because I talk so fast. So I'm going to try and slow down today if I can. So let's get into our word. Before we do, let's pray again. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Your love, grace, and mercy that we're your children. That you love us, that you answer our prayers, Father God. And as we talk today about prayers, about dangerous prayers, Father God, to pray, I ask that you would allow us to pray those prayers. Allow us to be bold enough, as we talked about the first week. Allow us to allow you to search us and point out the issues and things in our lives that we need to change, Father God, and help us to change them. To be obedient in prayer, as we talked about last week, Andre talked about, Father God. And let us today, as we get ready to pray, break me, Father God. I ask that you would help us understand what that truly means and what we're asking, Father God, and let us be bold enough and courageous enough to pray that this week and for the rest of our lives, Father God, so that we can do what you've called us to do. We can be who you've created us to be. You can use us to carry out your work, Father God. I thank you for that. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. All right, so again, the first week we talked about dangerous prayers. We talked about having a boldness to speak out and to stand up. And then we talked the second week about search me, oh God, and help me to find the issues and the problems and the things that I have going on in my life that need to change. And how many of you know that's a dangerous thing to ask, right? That's a dangerous thing to ask, because according to what we know about prayer, if we ask God, he answers us. Right? If we ask him, he answers us. We ask him to show us things. He shows us. And sometimes it's hard to see the issues that we have in our own life. It's easy to see the issues in other people's life, but it's hard to see the issues in our own life. Amen? Today we're going to talk about God, break me. And again, this is a prayer that you won't like to pray. And some of us might say, man, I'm not praying that prayer because I like where I live at now. I like my relationship. The problem is it's not consistent with God's word. When we look at the people in his word, there's a version of Christianity that says God should make my life easy version, right? God should make it where I don't have issues, where I don't have problems, where I get to cruise through life because he is providing for me. He is taking care of me. And although he is providing and taking care of us, it's the tough times, the difficult times in our life that brings us to who God wants us to be, that forms us into the tool that God can use so that we can bring about the glory of God and other people can see it in our lives. Amen? We like to pray, bless me, O Lord, keep me safe, help me have a good day. I don't want to be inconvenienced or interrupted or have any trouble. You know, give me a hassle-free day, no zits on my face. Help everything to be the way that it should be. Green lights everywhere, good food that doesn't stay with me, right? Bless this chili cheese dog, make it somehow beneficial to me. We pray those prayers and we ask God to do those things when honestly, the Christian life, if you look in the scripture, was completely different than that in every aspect, right? It wasn't about, let my kids be good today. Some of us, that's a task. Some of us, not so much, but it's one of those things. It could be a miracle at times for our kids to behave. Some of us are learning that, right, with our kids with us all day, every day now, while schools are closed, right? They can't wait for schools to open up, man. My kids don't have it good because they're still in school. I'm their teacher, so it's kind of fun that way. But we want sunny weather and parking spots up close. My dad used to call it presidential parking. He would pay for parking in the front row. And I would say, Dad, what happens if you don't? Then God must have wanted me to park at the North 40 and walk in, you know, get some exercise. Maybe that's what he's doing in my life, and I just don't understand it. How many know when God answers our prayers, it's not always what we want it to be, what we think it should be. And one of the prayers that I want us to pray and to look at in our lives is God, break my heart. And when I say that, what I want us to understand is I want the things that hurt God's heart to hurt my heart. I want the things that upsets God to upset me. But I want to handle it in a righteous way. We're going to talk a little bit about that. Before we get into too much, we're going to talk about four guys today. The first one we're going to talk about is the prophet Jeremiah in the Old Testament. I think I have a lot to do with him. And like we have a lot in common because he's known as the weeping prophet, right? Not that I'm a prophet, but I cry a lot when I talk about God and about what he's doing. And he was like the champion of criers, right? When he brought God's word, when he did the things that he did. And in Jeremiah chapter 8, you can find this story and what's going on in it. But I'm going to read a couple of scriptures to you, and we're going to talk about his heart. In Jeremiah 8:18, it says, "My joy is gone, grief is upon me, my heart is sick within me." We skip down to verse 21. It says, "For the wound of my daughter of my people is my heart wounded. I mourn, and dismay has taken hold of me." Dismay has taken hold of me. So Jeremiah was a prophet. He was, God spoke to him and was telling him about the evil that was going on. How many of you know there's a lot of evil going on today in the world? As we look around, we can see it. It was rampant. There was rampant injustice. There was they were abusing the widows and the orphans, the poor. They were sacrificing children to a false god. They had rejected the word of the Lord. It says earlier in chapter 8 that everyone was greedy for unjust gain. From the prophet to the priest, everyone was dealing falsely. Now we see Jeremiah's heart was broken for a people that was dying, that was lost, and for God's people who were acting in an incorrect manner. When we look at the world today, we see all of those things present. But how many of those things break our heart? How many of those things make us so that we want to do something? So that we're brought to a point where we have to stand up and take care of the things that need to be taken care of. A lot of times, we're very frustrated, we're very angry, but I have a poem I'm going to read to you guys. You guys ready? I got to find it. I moved it down, and now I got to move it back up. You guys ready for this poem? It's about everybody, somebody, anybody, and nobody. Some of you guys may have heard this, but I want you to understand. This is what happens today, I believe. There was an important job, and it had to be done. And everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. Somebody got angry because it was everybody's job. How many know people get angry because it's somebody else's job? They should be doing it. Everybody thought that anybody could do it, but nobody realized everybody wouldn't do it. And it ended up that everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have done. You guys got that? It happens in our lives too, man. It happens in our lives. We expect other people to take up the torch. We expect other people to do what should be done in a situation when we're uncomfortable, when we're not happy about what's going on. Today we're going to talk about asking God to break our hearts, but not only to break our hearts, but to give us the self-control, the discipline, the ability, whatever you want to call it, to do something about these things that our heart breaks for. First thing we could do definitely is always go to God with those things, right? Pray for those people that are in the middle of these situations. But why would we ever want to ask God to break our hearts? Why would we want to invite this kind of pain into our lives? Because honestly, I want to ask you this question. What if God's greatest blessing came from God's greatest breaking in your life? Right? What if the issue or the trial that caused me the most pain in my life brought the most blessing out of it? Right? My issues in my life, a lot of you guys know them. My issues in my life were what they are. They were self-inflicted. But God still saw fit to allow me to use those things to be able to talk and minister to people today. The ministries that I have today, the ministry place that I have, the heart that I have for people in those places are because of the stupidity of my own, but the pain that I went through at that point. Like, I never want people to go through that, ever. Why am I so hard on my kids when I put rules? You're like, well, that's just a little rule. You got to pick your battles. That's a little rule. Okay, you guys raise your kids the way that you're going to do it. But I understand I was raised strict and I still was an idiot, right? Heaven forbid if I had not been raised strict and I had not had that background to come back to and say, no, this is who I should really be. Why am I hard on my kids? And I sit them down and I talk to them. Why am I so hard on you on whether you left your shoes in the floor or not? Why do I do that? Because this is not a big deal. But if you can't be obedient in the little things, you'll never be obedient in the big things. Y'all know that scripture, right? That's scripture in all kinds of principles. So if I can't trust you to do these things here, how am I going to ever do this? How can I ever bless you in your life with these things if you can't be faithful with those things, right? And we go through issues, we go through problems, we go through things that try our patience, that try our mental ability, that try our upbringing, right? That try our belief in what this word says. We go through those things and we're going to constantly. Yay, right? The book of James says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you fall into temptations and trials of various kinds. Why? Because it produces something in you. It produces the ability to walk through other issues, other things, other problems that are about to come. Why would I pray, God, break my heart so that I would look to these things? Because from a broken state, we tend to move. One statement I want you to understand, one statement is, and you can see that this is true in your life as well. Comfort never once moved me to action. Comfort never once moved me to action. What was the reason for me to move and to do the things that I should do? What caused me to step out of this place and say, I've got to go there? Because I mean, you know, uncertainty is fearful. Right? We're all scared of what is about to happen, what is going to happen in the future. We're all scared about taking the step out and starting a business, or taking a step out and doing this, or taking a step out and ministering to somebody for the first time, taking a step out and talking to people about your faith. Taking that step is difficult. It's comfortable to stand over here and just watch from a distance. It's very, very comfortable. But why would we want to step out? Why would we want our lives to be tested in certain areas, in certain ways, either with trials or either with ministry, either with these things? Why would we want that? 1 Peter 1:7 says this, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So that the issues, the problems, the things that break our heart would bring glory to his name. Why? Because we are moved to action. We are moved to do something about the problems that we're facing. We're moved to step out and to be uncomfortable, to even leave everything that we know behind to be able to take care of an issue. We're going to talk about Moses. Moses, when we look in scripture, he was very upset about the mistreatment of God's people, of his own people. You guys know the story, put in a basket, found by Pharaoh's daughter, raised in Pharaoh's home. This is just another example of how God gives you everything you need for the ministry from the time you were born. He gives you those things for you to work on, to test, to move, to improve, to sharpen, so that when the time comes, you're able to walk in them. Just another example of that. He's very upset. He's very, very frustrated. The mistreatment of God's people. Exodus 2, 11 and 12. One day when Moses had grown up, he went out to his people and looked on their burden, and he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his people. And he looked this way and that, and seeing no one, he struck down the Egyptian and hit him in the sand. We go right into the very next couple of verses, and the very next day there's two Hebrew men that are fighting, and what does he say? You guys need to stop. And what did they say? You gonna kill us like you killed the last guy? Right? So we see, even in, we need to be careful how we go about the anger that's placed in our lives. We need to be careful that we go about the brokenness that's in our hearts, because what happens when we go about it in the wrong manner, people get hurt and people run away from God. Be careful that your brokenness doesn't turn into unrighteous anger. Be careful that your brokenness doesn't turn into unrighteous anger. Now, we see that process, even though wrong, he runs away. And in his running away, on the backside of a desert, he finds what? He finds God, which brings him back to the ministry that he was called to the ministry that he was given from the time he was little, right? We need to understand. God came and spoke to him in chapter 3, verse 7 through 12. We need to understand that God kind of uses our stupid mistakes, our mess ups, to be our greatest form, our greatest tool to carry out the ministry that he's given to us again. Exodus 3, 7 through 12 says, "Then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cries because of their taskmaster. I know their suffering. I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now, behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them." Then he says this to him, "Come, I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." And just like every person that's called into the ministry, I feel Moses' answer was this, "But who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" And he said, "I will be with you. And this will be a sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain." So even in the midst of Moses running, right, because of the stupidity that he did, the way that he handled a situation that should have been handled a different way, he was brought to a place where God says, "I've brought you here. Now, when the people come, when you bring the children out, you're going to worship on this place right here. You're going to come to the place that you stand right now and minister." And witness to people and talk about how good I am to you and to them. And you're going to understand this. You know why I love this part so much? Is now I'm standing in a place that I was running from God, sitting on the back row right here years ago. Right? Now he's brought me to a place where I can use that stupidity that I lived in to be able to minister to others. God will do the same thing in your life. He will do the same thing in your life. The next guy I want to talk about is David. David got angry. He got upset. He got frustrated. Why did he get upset? Two reasons. One, because there was a man that was defiling his God and saying things about his God that never should have been said, never should have been done, speaking about his God in a manner that was not right. The other reason why I believe that he got mad was because all of the men who should have been standing up to this man, to this thing, and saying, "This will not happen, this cannot happen, and I won't allow it," were hiding in the bushes. Then we see David say something about it, and all of his brothers were upset with him and frustrated with him. "Where did you leave those few little sheep? Why don't you go back to the little thing you're supposed to do and let us do what we're supposed to do? Hide in the bushes properly," right? The people that were supposed to be doing all this ministry, all this war, this battle, taking care of the situation, were standing back looking at the one person that stands up and says, something needs to be done. And they're making fun of him and say, why don't you go back to the little thing that you're supposed to be doing instead of trying to play with us big boys, right? Sometimes I think as Christians, we get a mindset that we're better than other people because of what God has done for us, not understanding that we're no better than them. We're no better than them. God loves them just as much as he loves us. He wants to do just as much work and change in their life as he does for us. And the problem is we won't let him. So I'm bringing back an old story. Y'all ready for an old story? Now that the virus is here, nobody's talking about this anymore. We have somebody that gets saved that's in a very high-profile position, and the church starts fighting over whether or not that person can really be saved. Instead of coming around and saying, what can I do to help? What can I do to be a part of what God has called you to do? See, our job as Christians is to not only do the ministry that we're called to do, but to lift up the arms of the people that are around us that are doing ministry as well. I'm supposed to support you in your ministry. You're supposed to support me in my ministry. And together, we come together as a body. How many people could have been impacted that didn't get reached, that don't want to see God now because they see how his people treat other people that come? His heart was broken, man. His heart was broken. David stood there and said, man, what can I do? Listen, let me go take care of this. Let me stand up. This is not a good place. This is not where we should be. Let me stand up. Let me do something. 1 Samuel 17:26. And David said to the men who stood by, what shall be done to this man who kills the Philistine and takes away this reproach from Israel? See, he understood exactly what this was. This was an attack on the people of Israel. This was an attack on God. And he said, I am not going to stand here and let that happen. We get mad and we post stuff on Facebook. That's our action. How dare them tell us we can't go to church? How dare them tell us we can't do this? How dare them tell us we... How many of you know sometimes God changes things up completely and reaches people that he would never have reached before? Again, like I said, when I turned on the Facebook stream and I set it down to watch party so people could be watching with us right now online too, I saw some of my friends from Louisiana. I saw some people that I know don't go to church in Florida and in Louisiana, and they're tuning in on this and they're seeing God right here. They're hearing the word of God. They're hearing the worship. They're seeing what worship is supposed to look like. They're seeing what, and I'm not trying to, that sounds like I'm bad. I'm not trying to be like that. They're getting to be a part of what we get to do every Sunday. And they never would have been able to do it if this hadn't happened. God can bring good out of every situation. God can bring good out of every situation. You know what I got to do this week? I got to sit down and watch church from local pastors here that I know that are friends that I would never be able to go and see them or be a part of their church or their congregation because I'm here and this is where I'm supposed to be. I love being here. Don't take that wrong. But I get to see them preach the word of God. And the cool thing is, I get to see how a lot of our messages all are the same. I don't know if you guys realize this. God does some amazing things. I preached a message one day, and my friend went online and was listening to somebody on the other end of the world, and I told him what I was preaching about. He's like, you know what? The preacher I was listening to preached the same exact thing this morning. Why? It's kind of like God knows what he's doing, and he tells people what they're supposed to be doing. I mean, just kind of weird that way, right? David's standing there and he's frustrated. He's upset. He's saying, the people of God are not doing what they're supposed to be doing. I'll do it. I'll do it. It's time we looked at our lives and looked around and said, man, the people of God aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing. We need to step out. God, help me see these things. Give me a passion for these things. The last guy I'm going to talk about is Nehemiah. Nehemiah 1:3-11. I'm not going to read it all. I'm just going to tell you about it. God comes to Nehemiah and he tells him the issues, the problems, the things that are happening in his life and in the community, in the place that's around him, in the home that he came from. Right? So we see Nehemiah, and he's in a comfy job. He's in a really nice place. He's a cupbearer. He's being taken care of. He's being fed. He lives in this amazing palace, right? And although he's a servant there, he's still doing the things that he's doing. And he hears a report about his hometown and about how it's destroyed, how the gates are burned down, how the people that are there are living in fear and frightened because of all of the people that are around coming to attack to be a part of it. And what does he do? He breaks down and he cries. He prays. At the risk of his own life, he asks the king, "King, can I go?" And I didn't put it in here, man. But you go back through and read the book of Nehemiah. You guys are sitting at home. That's some good homework. Go back through and read the book of Nehemiah and see what happens. Nehemiah comes in and the king says, "Man, something's wrong. You don't have the joy that you normally have. Something is about your countenance is different. What can I do?" This is one of the things that we should understand, and this is why it's so important to build relationships with people, with other people, to understand when they're going through a rough time and they'll never say anything about it, right? How many people does God put in our life every day that we walk, even people we don't know, and we can tell something's wrong? We can tell something's wrong. See, Nehemiah wasn't going to come and talk to him about it, but he came into the king's presence, and the king said, because of what? We talk about this a lot. Because of relationship, right? Because of relationship, he said, something is different. What is wrong? What is wrong? How many of us, instead of just saying, "Oh, man, something's different about them. Let me go this way because I really don't have time. I got enough problems on my own to be dealing with their problems," right? I would tell you to raise your hand that you can go ahead today. Ain't nobody going to see you, right? You're at home. Unless you got somebody watching with you, it's okay. It's good. Nehemiah comes in and his heart was broken because of the city. And so what did it do? It called him to leave the place of comfort, to go to a place of battle, of constant people constantly telling him how stupid he was, what a bad idea this is, you need to quit, you need to stop, all these different things. And what was his heart? "My heart is broken for this. God, help me. Give me the strength to be able to fix this." Not for him. Who is he fixing it for? For God. For the people of the city. He was doing it for everyone else. And honestly, our ministry, that's what our ministry should be all about. What does Jesus say? Time and time again, we talk about it, man. Jesus said the most important two things is love the Lord your God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And if you do those two things, then all of the commandments will be taken care of right there. Right there. We see the sacrifice that he made coming out of his comfort zone, coming out of the safety, and moving into a place of danger, of ridicule, of persecution, so that he could do what God called him to do. We need to pray that God would shake us out of our continual pursuit of comfort, that he would stir up a divine burden that we just can't ignore. We can't look the other way. See, a lot of times, we are appalled at issues and things that are happening, but we don't take action until it's somebody that we actually know that's in the middle of that process, just to be honest, right? We'll hear of the issues, we'll hear of the problems, we'll hear of the trials, but until somebody we know directly is facing that issue, it's not really an issue, it's just something's bad that needs to be fixed. But it's not until it happens to me or one of my loved ones or one of my family members or friends that it even becomes an issue that we want to step up and do anything about it. What if we pray, "God, give me a passion for these things without having to go through the bad part to get there? How about giving me a passion so I can stand up and I can start helping out? I can start being able to allow God to use me." This is the thing, man. When you pray this prayer, get ready for your heart to be broken about things, about stuff that's happening. Our country is plagued with abortion. In 2018, 345,672 abortions took place. If you divide that out monthly, there were 28,806 abortions a month. Human trafficking. I don't have all the stats. I looked at 16 different places, and they all said something a little bit different, but they weren't low. There's all kinds of different human trafficking. Our world is plagued with that. That's something that should burden our heart. That should trouble us. Racial injustice. You know what? It's still here, y'all. Now, there's a lot of it that goes on in the media, and I get that, but there's a lot of it that's still happening in everyday life. We need to be upset about those things. Half the world doesn't have clean water. Half the world. We're in the bubble of America. But when we look outside at the different countries that are around and we see how much they struggle and how poor they actually have to live and the things that they're required to eat only because they don't have. I have friends that are missionaries in Africa. I have friends that are missionaries Guatemala. Yeah, Chuck and Ilse down in Guatemala. They are down there, and this is the thing. We have friends that are from Russia that are here hanging out with us, and we talk about what's going on. We don't understand what it means to not live wealthy, even the poorest people in this country. We don't understand. That should hurt our heart. What about children that are stuck in a home that they can't get out of, an abusive home? Child abuse is very prevalent in our society. It is. How about our hearts get burdened to action about those things? How about this? People with mental illness, trapped in addictions, marriages that need to be taken care of and healed. Because of whatever issue, doesn't matter. We have teenagers that are cutting themselves just so they can feel something. Shouldn't that burden our heart to the point of action? There's so many things in this world that are opposed to God's scripture that are going on that we as the church, as the body of Christ, should step up and say, God, give me a passion. Give me an avenue to be able to help with this. But again, man, it's easier to not care rather than to know everything that's going on. You know, sometimes this is where that one scripture this one saying that they say makes any sense whatsoever, right? Y'all ready for it? Ignorance is bliss. That's the only place that actually is true. Not knowing about it makes me okay because I really don't know and I really don't want to know. How about we pray, God, break my heart. Allow me to see those things that are going on around me that need to be changed. Help me to get involved. Because I'm gonna make another statement, and I know it's true in my life. It's better to hurt with a purpose than to exist without one. It's better to hurt with a purpose than to exist without one. See, God's called each and every one of us to something, and again, the majority of times that mission, that goal, that whatever you want to call it, comes out of brokenness. So this morning, thinking honestly, what breaks your heart? What breaks your heart that you see that's going on around? This is kind of a hard thing to say, but I'm miserable a lot of times because of stuff that's happening around me. Don't ask my wife. She might amen, right? I'm miserable sometimes about those things, about how our church today, the culture of the church today, not our church, not Victory Church, but the church as a whole. When I say church, that's what I'm talking about. How it's okay if you just do some good things and
And you don't really have to be right with God. You don't really have to have a relationship with God. But if you come to church and you can still go and do all these things you want to do and be who you want to be and say what you want to say and talk about what you want to talk about and live the life of the world, but still be a Christian and still call yourself one. That hurts my heart every day. It hurts my heart that there are people that are looking for something, and because they don't look right or they don't wear the right clothes or they don't smell good or they don't do this or they're not in our brackets or they're not here or they're not there, we can't minister, we can't witness to them. They don't really deserve it. Somebody else should take care of them. And what happens? Nobody's the one that steps up. That hurts my heart. It also hurts my heart when we fall into legalism, saying, I have to do this, I have to do that. You have to do, in order to be a Christian, you have to do these things. Listen, there. Jesus said, love God and love people. Love God, love people. Love God, love people. That's what we're called to do. What does love cause you to do? One thing that I like to use on my benefit is it keeps no record of wrongs. I tell my wife that all the time. Baby, love me. Keeps no record of wrongs, right? It loves the unlovable. It has patience with those people who are trying, who are struggling, who are going through life. And it's not easy, because some of you know life is not easy. It's difficult. It's easier on some than others. But I'm going to tell you what. We see people with an easy life, and we don't understand the fight that they got to get to that life, right? The life that they went through to get to the place that they're at. I use that with my mom and my dad all the time. When we first got married, April and I first got married, I wanted the house. I wanted all the things that my mom and dad had right now. A couple of cars, car for my wife, car for me, car for... I wanted all these things, right? Not understanding that it's been 40 years of my family getting these things, right? 40 years of work that they worked through and being a good steward of what God had given them to be in this place. And I didn't understand it. See, that works too in the spiritual world. We see people that we think are a lot holier, think are a lot more spiritual. But let me tell you something, man. God does give giftings to certain people that he doesn't give to others. But there's none holier than you. Right? I'm the only reason why I'm holy at all or have some semblance of holiness in my life is because Jesus Christ is a part of my life. It's because of what he's done in my life. I like what Pastor John used to say. The only thing I brought to this story of grace is my sin, right? That's the only thing I got to contribute. Everything else is nothing. I didn't have anything of worth. We need to understand it's not about what you do, what you don't do. But also understand this, that statement doesn't give you an ability to sit back in a comfort zone and not do anything for God. It doesn't. It doesn't. Another thing that hurts my heart is seeing the gifts that God's put in other people's lives and them not using those gifts, them leaving those gifts alone and not walking in them. Because you know what? God has given us each a purpose and a plan. God has given us each something that we need to walk through and that we need to do. And all the issues and the problems and the thing that we're facing right now, they're not forever. They're temporary in our lives. We need to understand that. We need to let God help us with those things, walk us through those things. It's time that we today step out of our comfort zone and ask God to break our heart for what breaks his. Do you know how we find out what breaks God's heart? It's very simple. Ask him in prayer and read his word. All through his word, there is evidence, there is statements, there are principles that are laid down in this that show us what God loves, what he can't be around, what he doesn't want to be around. Sin. We need to understand that it's time for us to stop living a life of comfort as a Christian and to step out and to do what ministry God has called us to. I want you guys to all bow your heads and close your eyes real quick. The first thing I want to do is invite those of you who don't have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior to be a part of your life.
You say, wait a minute, man, you just told me there's going to be more issues. There's going to be more problems. There's going to be more things that you'll go through as a Christian. Yeah, that's a true statement. But the other side of that statement is that you'll never be alone. He said he'll never leave you or forsake you. He'll always be there to walk you through it, to help you with this issue, with this problem, with the things that you're going to be facing. He puts brothers and sisters beside you that can help you go through it, not kick you when you're down, help pick you up, help walk you through those issues. Today, man, you say, I don't have that relationship. I've been living by looking at Christianity by a list of rules and regulations, things I can do, things I can't do, not even understanding that it's a relationship with him. That in order for me to have that relationship, I have to ask for it. Then I have to carry on the relationship with him. And that will bring change. It will bring change. You will be different. But I promise you, you won't regret the change that comes. You won't regret the change that comes. Today, you need to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I want you to say this prayer with me. It's not this prayer that saves you. The scripture tells us that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart, then we'll be saved. So I want us all to confess together, right where you're sitting at, man. Even if you didn't raise your hand, you're not the one that's going to be praying this. I want you to pray this with everyone that is praying this at this time. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, sorry for my sins. Things I've done that aren't pleasing to you. Help me be who you created me to be. You sent your son to die for me. And he raised again. He rose again. So that I could have freedom. So that I could have relationship. So that I could be one of your children. I accept it now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen. Today I want to pray this prayer for all of us. I'm going to pray it for me. And I will hope that you'll pray it for yourself. And ask God to just lay a burden on our heart. That would make us step out. That would make us come to action. That would allow us to be used by him in a way that. Way that he intended us to be used. Dear Heavenly Father. This morning, Father God, we love you. We thank you that we are your children. We thank you that you love us, that you answer our prayers, and even the ones that we pray that are all about us, Father God, you hear those as well. You answer us in those as well, Father God. But I ask that today that you would put a burden on my heart, Father God. You put a burden in my heart that would cause me to spring to action. That would cause me to stand up and be who you created me to be. That would cause me to stand up, Father God, and stand next to brothers and sisters that you've placed in my life to walk together for us to fight this battle side by side, not alone, Father God, and with you in control of all of it, Father. Give us ways that we can minister to people. Give us ways that we can share your love, grace, and mercy. Give us ways that we can act on our anger in a righteous manner, Father God. Be angry, but sin not, according to your scripture. I ask that you would help us with those things and allow us to see the opportunities you're giving us to minister to your children, to our families, to our friends. I ask it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to stand up and we're going to sing one more song before we go. Now I'm going to come back and pray and Let's just worship God for a minute.